Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Lindsay Case, the Director of New Product Commercialization with PIC. Thanks for joining us, Lindsay.
Thank you, Bruce. Nice to be with you this morning.
The PRRS resistant pig, what's next, was among the topics discussed in November as part of Saskatchewan Pork Industry Symposium 2025. First of all, a little background. What is PRRS and what are the animal health, productivity, and economic implications of this infection?
I think that's a great way to start. So thanks for the introduction and kicking us off here, Bruce. So PRRS stands for Porcine Reproductive and Respiratory Syndrome Virus, and it's one of the most prevalent and devastating swine diseases plaguing the global industry today. So when we look at North America, about 60% of the sow herd would be infected with the PRRS virus or suffering from some degree of the PRRS virus today. And when you look at growing pigs to market, that only increases due to weaning positive pigs and then a lateral infections before the pigs go to market. So the symptoms of the virus really center around the reproductive issues in gilts and sows. So it causes abortion, stillborn piglets, and preween mortality. And then for growing pigs suffering from the virus, increased morbidity and mortality as those pigs really fail to thrive as their immune system is struggling to fight off that virus. So really does have a pretty broad toll on the industry today.
How long has PRRS been a factor in pork production, and how widespread is PRRS?
Our industry has been plagued with the PRRS virus for over three decades now. So the virus was first identified in the late 1980s, and at that time it was identified as mystery swine disease as the industry tried to grapple with what exactly this new emergent virus really was and what it would mean to the global swine herd. Over the past three decades, the virus continues to have an increasing toll on our industry, and between 20 years ago and 10 years ago and today, each decade, the virus continues to cost an extra 80%, or the impact grows by 80% each decade. And that isn't from lack of effort across really smart people in the industry trying to find ways to mitigate and manage this disease. So that's included different ways in which we raised pigs, moving from single site to three site production to try and create breaks between groups. That's included innovation around vaccines to try and find something that's effective against the virus. That also includes continued evolution and investment in biosecurity to try and keep the virus out of sow farms and growing pig herds. And really, the virus continues to evade us. So if you look back one decade ago relative to present day, the current cost of the virus is about $1.2 billion relative to about $664 million the previous decade. And as we start to evaluate what's leading to that increased in economic toll of the virus, it's less related to increased input costs and really comes down to more pigs getting more sick more often, despite the industry's best efforts to try and innovate ways to mitigate and manage the virus.
What is the PRRS resistant pig, and how is resistance achieved?
So the PRRS-resistant pig was developed by PIC with some academic collaborators who identified that the CD163 gene acts as the viral receptor to the PRRS virus. So back in 2015, the University of Missouri identified that by deactivating a gene called CD163, they could create pigs that mounted no immunological or physiological responses to the PRRS virus, effectively identifying that by deactivating that gene, they could create pigs resistant to PRRS. Later that year, also in 2015, the University of Roslyn also identified that CD163 is a gene that codes for the virus receptor for the PRRS virus within the pig. And they were able to narrow down a place within that gene with an exon 5 that specifically controlled that viral receptor function of the gene. So by working with really bright researchers across the industry, we were able to remove an exact 414 base pairs out of the 2.8 billion base pairs within the pig's genome to specifically deactivate the viral receptor of that CD163 gene. We were able to introduce this new trait into four of our lines over the past few years to then create new breeds or lines of pigs that have this new favorable trait introduced through gene editing.
What are the regulatory implications of all of this?
Great question. So, through the gene editing process, again, we removed 414 base pairs out of 2.8 billion and did not introduce any foreign DNA into the genome of the pig. So just like we've been identifying and selecting for pigs with favorable characteristics for the past few centuries within animal and plant-based agriculture, we were able to introduce and select for a new trait within the genome with the PRRS-resistant pig. Because no foreign DNA was introduced, there are different regulatory processes that do exist when we look at the global regulatory environment. So as we sit here today, we have regulatory approval to produce the pigs in Colombia, the Dominican Republic, USA, Brazil, and Argentina. We're also actively in the regulatory process for a subset of countries in North America, Southeast Asia, and Central America, which would include Canada, Costa Rica, Guatemala, Honduras, Japan, Mexico, Philippines, Thailand, China. So the primary pork producing and pork consuming countries around the world. Again, as no foreign DNA is introduced, the majority of these countries approach the regulatory process through what's called a non-determination. So they determine that no foreign DNA is introduced and that the pigs and pork are no different than the conventional wild-type pigs currently being raised and the pork currently being consumed in those countries today. So the majority of those countries that I just listed would follow that non-determination pathway where the pigs and pork are deemed no different than any other pigs or pork being produced or consumed in those countries today. Other countries like the USA, Canada, China, and Japan have what's called a more approval-focused pathway where they're deeming a novel trait introduced into the pig population. And in those regulatory approval countries, we go through a bit more of a rigorous process when we look at evaluating the animals and pork to prove that there's absolutely no difference between either the live animals or pork with this new favorable trait introduced relative to wild type. So the global regulatory landscape can get complex, but I think the important message is we're continuing to work with the Canadian regulatory environment and our trade partners within North America, including the US and Mexico, but then also to responsibly bring the PRRS-resistant pig to market in any given country, we need to make sure that it's approved in the major export markets for any geography, particularly when we look at countries like Canada that export 70% of their pork. So this regulatory approval landscape is one of the primary underpinnings as a minimum requisite to bring the technology to market, independent of the work we're doing with domestic consumer approval.
How important is the development of PRRS resistance to the pork sector, and what are the potential implications?
The agricultural sector is continuing to get pressured to do more with less as we look at providing food and nutrition to a growing global population. So, when you look at the pressures facing the Canadian pork sector and industry, we're getting asked by consumers and other stakeholders within the pork supply chain to simultaneously improve animal welfare, to reduce the need for antibiotics, to reduce the environmental impact of pork production, to attract more people to work in a thriving industry like raising pigs and pork for a growing global population. All while underpinned by enhancing the productivity and profitability of the people raising pigs every day. So to that end, having a new tool to help in the battle against PRRS is a unique opportunity to simultaneously address each of those what could otherwise be perceived as competing priorities with how we raise pigs and produce pork today. And while we are fortunate to have identified the CD163 edit and deactivating that gene to create a pig resistant to PRRS, there are currently more than 500 gene-edited crops in development and production worldwide. So while we get the opportunity to be the one of the first to introduce gene editing into the protein chain, there's certainly a much broader interest in applications actively today across the agricultural industry to meet these evolving pressures on the food system.
And is there anything that you would like to add?
As we look at being able to introduce the PRRS-resistant pig responsibly within any geography, including Canada, achieving regulatory approval, which we had talked about a few minutes ago, is really just the first step. We also need to work on, as we had mentioned, maintaining or achieving regulatory approval in the primary international markets to keep a vibrant and resilient industry in terms of being able to maintain international customers. But then also working to transparently and responsibly gain the trust of downstream stakeholders within the Canadian pork industry. So we're continuing to actively engage packer processors, food service and retail, and pork consumers to really understand what would motivate them to utilize the PRRS-resistant pig and feel comfortable in the values that this technology brings as an option for what they're putting in their grocery cart and the pork that they are feeding their families.
How can anyone interested get more information?
A great way would be by visiting the PRRSresistantPig.com, which is a website that we've put together to really be a central point of information on the PRRS-resistant pig. So as a starting point, I think that's a great central point of information for the PRRS-resistant pig. And otherwise, getting in touch with your local PIC representative, we'd be more than happy to talk about it with anyone at any time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bruce.
Our guest has been Lindsay Case, the Director of New Product Commercialization with PIC. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.